Online Podcast 145Hello, ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing? Today, we are going to get serious. We're going to be talking to Rachel Tiven from Immigration Equality. Her website is immigrationequality.org. She is the Executive Director of Immigration Equality. And we will get a lot of information out of this chat with Rachel. You're in New York, right, Rachel?
Yep.
Welcome, welcome.
Nice to be with you.
I want to ask you before we even get started into talking about the organization, what is our current law in the United States of America protecting the LGBT or even HIV positive individual here in this situation? What kind of protection do we have in the law of the United States, immigration law specifically?
Okay, well, unfortunately, the protection piece is a relatively small piece of the immigration law total for LGBT and HIV positive immigrants. The piece of immigration law that provides protection is in the asylum law. So The good news, we'll spend plenty of time on the bad news, but the good news is that if you are someone who is fleeing persecution, you can show that you have a credible fear of persecution in your home country based on your sexual orientation or your gender identity, and sometimes your HIV status along with one of those things. You can, with a good lawyer and good resources, You can win asylum in the United States.
Okay.
So that's the good news. And there are lots of resources on our website, immigrationequality.org, about asylum. There are resources for people who are potential asylum seekers. There are resources for attorneys who have clients who might be asylum seekers, and whether that's, you know, attorneys who have never had an LGBT client before, and are looking, you know, but know a lot about asylum law, or lawyers who have lots of LGBT clients but have never done an asylum case, we have resources on our website.
So do you provide information to not only to people who are seeking to get help in, you know, when it comes to immigration issues, do you also provide information to, let's say, attorneys who's like first time dealing with somebody's immigration issues? Do you have to do that also on your website?
By a combination. Some of the lawyers who get information from us are immigration lawyers who know a lot about immigration law but don't necessarily have a lot of LGBT clients. So for example, we've had people call us up and ask, I think my client might be gay, and if I'm right, I think they might have an asylum claim. But I don't know how to ask them if they're gay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm embarrassed, and I think they'd be embarrassed. So what do I do? I mean, that's all, you know, that information is not, that's, you know, you talk to our legal director and she gives you some advice. but there is also material on our website that we have an extensive pro bono program. So Immigration Equality works with more than a dozen different law firms to get attorneys from law firms to represent asylum seekers for free.
Okay.
And those attorneys, by and large, do not have a lot of immigration experience. So for them, we're really walking them through the nuts and bolts of making an asylum case.
Okay.
So both of those things. So that's all the good news.
That's good. And in fact, I do have a personal friend of mine who just got his green card a few days ago, also through seeking asylum and then, you know, further getting his green card. So
long process after that, right?
Yeah.
That's great.
And it's really wonderful, but it's also very, very taxing when it comes to going through all that. And not just, you know, asylum seeker, anybody. I myself have gone through this situation before. I'm in a binational relationship, so I have gone through that, ups and downs and everything, and I'm just lucky enough to have a job that is has a boss who wants to sponsor me.
Yeah.
And otherwise, it would be difficult.
Right.
So
that's getting us to the bad news.
Yeah, that's getting us to the bad news. So let's say I'm very, very surprised that how many people are not aware or even not even think about, well, I say I'm surprised, but maybe I'm not surprised, because oftentimes when we're not in this situation, immigration situation, and of course we're talking to the general public who are mostly American and having a relationship with another American, and we never really think about that situation until you are thrown into that situation yourself. Let's say your partner is somebody who is not from the United States of America. You've been with him since college, and then now you graduated and he's about to go home, but you're in a relationship. So what kind of issue typically do we have then if they don't get a job to support them or sponsor them to get a green card?
Well, this is really where one of the key pieces of discrimination really rears its head. Mm. There is currently no way that a same-sex couple can sponsor one another for immigration benefits. That's because immigration, as you know, is entirely federal, so it's completely up to the federal government. And the Defense of Marriage Act, which Clinton signed in 1996, prevents any federal recognition of same-sex relationships. So even couples who are married in Massachusetts or who have been married abroad in Canada or one of the other countries that recognize the same-sex marriage, mm-hmm. has no way to get recognition under the immigration law. And what that means practically is that couples who have been together for many years, who may have young children, who may have been devoted to one another through, all kinds of, all the things that people in relationships go through, mm-hmm. Sick parents, health crises, school, jobs, everything, none of that counts in the immigration system. And, in comparison to the recognition that a heterosexual couple can get, that leads them, after a good bit of paperwork, but with relative ease to a green card for a partner.
Yeah.
And there are other implications as well. If in couples, where neither person is a U.S. citizen or green card holder, again, they're really set back in the immigration system because they're a gay couple. For a family in which both people, let's say, something that we've been talking about a lot over the past month, given the legislation pending mm-hmm. In Congress, let's say both people are undocumented. If one of them manages to change their status. Obviously, mm-hmm. it's extremely, getting into the nitty-gritty of immigration law, it's very difficult to change your status if you're here and you're out of status. But in a circumstance in which somebody is able to get immigration benefits, they can't bring their partner along with them. Mm-hmm. If you come here from another country on a work visa, and you would ordinarily be able to bring your spouse on a dependent visa. Let's say you come to work for a large corporation, or you come to work for the World Bank or the United Nations. We've talked to lots of employees from there, where people are coming from other countries to work in the United States, and in their home country they are recognized. Mm-hmm. Let's say a Canadian couple coming to work for, just to take a hypothetical, coming to work for the Canadian Embassy in Washington. They're married in Canada. Their own government recognizes them utterly and completely as a married couple. They get complete spousal benefits when they're being posted abroad, mm-hmm. but they get to the United States and they're not recognized.
Yeah.
So the Canadian diplomat can't bring the partner in on the kind of dependent visa that an opposite sex spouse would get, and that causes huge problems for them.
Yeah.
So up and down the immigration system, the complete refusal to recognize our families has really life-altering consequences for many, many people.
Yeah, I have seen too many couples. I call it torn apart by borders. It's just so sad. And I've seen it. I mean, I've many, too many friends having to go their separate ways because of the immigration law. And that's why it's so near and dear to my heart. And of course, I have been there myself too, for the first while I was applying for my green card, the whole time, mm-hmm. It's very intimidating when you go into the immigration office, and it's all very scary. Everything is not permanent until you get a permanent residency.
Right. And that's actually, that reminds me of another important point, which is mm-hmm. that in a really particularly cruel twist of fate, for same-sex couples, not only does the existence of a committed relationship not help them in the immigration circumstance the way that it does for straight people, but rather it can be an extra detriment because you often have to, if you're here on a non-immigrant visa, a same-sex couple has to hide their relationship from the immigration authorities when they go to renew the visa or when they enter or exit, when they're trying to re-enter the country.
Yeah.
Because if the immigration service were to find out that you had a strong relationship in the United States, they would question whether you really did intend to remain here.
Yeah.
And as you know, a condition of a non-immigrant visa is that you promise, except for an H-1B, you promise that you don't intend to remain.
Correct.
So, yes. So that's really the particularly cruel part is that not only do the relationship that should give us immigration benefits doesn't, but in fact it can also be a hindrance.
Yeah. The same. I'm sure that one listener who emailed me about their situation, who he has a boyfriend in Hong Kong and was trying to get him over for school,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to sponsor, pretty much pay for his stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, by the time he emailed me, he already everything has already been submitted and everything was pretty much done except for the interview. And I found out through that email and I said, I don't know whether I think that might sound really risky because,
right.
you know, what is the relationship between the two of you? And so therefore they got, the case got turned down. So,
right. I mean, we had a couple very active with immigration equality where when the non-citizen partner went to renew his visa, the consular official in his home country looked over the papers and said, who is this man, who's this single 40-something-year-old man who's sponsoring you? I know what's going on here. Don't think you can fool me.
Yeah.
And was unbelievably vicious to him. The irony is that when an opposite sex couple applies for a green card, they have to prove how loving and how committed and how real the relationship is.
I know. That is so sad.
So let me quickly tell you a little bit. I don't want to eat up too much of your time, but
sure.
Let me tell you what we're doing about it.
Yes.
Immigration equality is really constantly trying to educate immigration activists about the discrimination against LGBT people,
mm-hmm.
to educate the LGBT movement about immigration issues and why they're relevant mm-hmm. to the gay and lesbian community, and that's something that we've been doing a lot of over the past weeks and months of immigration reform, really trying to just continue to hammer on the multi-issue gay rights organizations to explain to them what the immigration issues are for LGBT people,
mm-hmm.
The same-sex couples issues, but also all kinds of other implications that really reverberate from the lack of family-based protection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in addition to which, some of the changes to asylum law that would make things tougher for LGBT asylum seekers, issues about changes to the regulations around document fraud that might be very dangerous for transgender people, really just trying to get the word out about what the concerns are for LGBT immigrants. And all the more so, trying to really educate people about the need to pass the Uniting American Families Act,
mm-hmm.
which is a piece of legislation that's pending in Congress now that would add the words permanent partner to everywhere it says spouse in the immigration law.
Mm-hmm.
And the definition of permanent partner is a same-sex couple who are committed to one another and in which both parties are over the age of 18 and they're not married to anybody else and, you know, sort of a few other basic requirements,
mm-hmm.
but would let a U.S. citizen or green card holder sponsor a same-sex partner for mm-hmm. a green card.
Uniting American Families Act.
Yes.
So where is it right now? How does it stand? And
We have 95 co-sponsors in the House of Representatives,
okay.
And 11 co-sponsors in the U.S. Senate.
Okay.
So we're obviously there's a ways to go, but we're moving forward nicely. And we are very optimistic that over the coming months, we're going to be able to really garner more co-sponsors, because we are very excited about introducing a report that Immigration Equality is doing jointly with Human Rights Watch. Mm-hmm. And Human Rights Watch has an LGBT rights program, and this is the first time that they're doing a domestic report for the LGBT rights program. They've done lots of terrific work on LGBT human rights internationally, but this is the first time that they're doing something looking at LGBT human rights in the United States. And they chose the issue of the discrimination against binational couples to kick off the domestic piece of their program. The report is called Family Unvalued, and it debuts on Capitol Hill in a press conference and a congressional briefing on May 2nd.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's a positive note. What can we do? What can everyone do, whether or not you're in a binational relationship? What can people who believe in this act do?
They can go to our website, immigrationequality.org, and sign up for our mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the homepage, immigrationequality.org, on the right side, there's a box that says sign up.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you'll get a monthly bulletin and action alerts. So, for example, we sent quite a few action alerts over the past weeks, trying to explain what was going on in terms of comprehensive immigration reform and what the implications for LGBT people were,
mm-hmm.
And to urge people to contact their members of Congress. And that way you can really keep up to date on what we're doing. Encourage people to, of course, if they can support Immigration Equality's work financially, that's always terrific.
Top right corner, donate now.
Right, you can go to donate now.
It's very, very important. I think a lot of people out there do not realize how crucial and how important this is to people like us, people who are in this situation.
And we're really trying, I mean, I think constantly working on all of these fronts, obviously we're a nonprofit, so the amount of direct lobbying that we can do is very limited, but really trying to educate members of Congress, educate congressional staff people, and educate constituents all over the country to contact their legislators. If you are in a binational couple, contact us, find out how you can write a letter to your member of Congress, or if you feel confident about writing a letter to a member of Congress, you don't need to contact us. Just go ahead and write to your representative, write to your senators, explain what your situation is, and explain that the passage of the Uniting American Families Act would potentially help you and your family. And I think it's really, especially if you, John, you and I were joking a lot about not everybody living in California and New York, especially if you are from someplace other than California or New York. It really, it makes, you know, being able to get more people from more states, you know, we need to convince a majority of the House and the Senate, and you know, California and New York do not account for all of the members of Congress. And so really, and we have great chapters in Texas, and we have activists in Atlanta and wonderful people in Washington, D.C. and Maryland and Virginia. But particularly, if you are from the Midwest, and your senators may not have heard from real gay and lesbian people who are really being discriminated against.
Yeah.
And it makes a huge difference to write and tell your story in the first person.
That is so important, because I think a lot of people, especially here, you know, trapped in between California and New York, a lot of times they feel very discouraged. And I'm in Kansas City, so right, I'm smack in the middle. A lot of people feel very discouraged about doing anything, because they just think that, oh no, nobody's going to hear.
The irony is that it's really those voices that we need most of all, because if you're in a smaller gay community, and you can really, you know, then your senators are not hearing from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer get a lot of letters, and they get a lot of letters from a lot of people on a lot of issues. The power of especially in a state that doesn't have an enormous gay community, and really this may be this may be the first time that your senator has, you know, has thought about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially with so much attention to immigration issues days, you know, really to write and say, you know, this is an aspect of immigration law that you may not have thought of. And it doesn't affect an enormous number of people, so there are not, I think, for those who are concerned, you know, the members of Congress who, you know, who are negative about immigration because they worry about too many people wanting to come or whatnot, you know, that to be able to say to them, look, there are not a lot of same-sex binational couples out there. Mm-hmm. The last census, we estimated about 36,000 couples living in the United States, where one person is a U.S. citizen or green card holder and the other person is not. Now, obviously, that's a little bit of an undercount. But the important thing, I think, for members of Congress to understand is that, you know, we're not talking about hundreds of thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who are affected, you know, as you know yourself,
yeah,
are affected very, very acutely. And that this is, you know, this isn't like a little, you know, something nice that it would be great if we could have, but, you know, our relationships are okay without it. I mean, for couples who may have nowhere in the world that they can live together, this is about the existence of the relationship itself.
Yeah, plus, you know, it's very unfair, too.
it's deeply unfair.
Yeah,
it's really,
so
I mean,
unfair.
I think it's really one of the worst kinds of anti-gay discrimination that I can think of.
Yeah, and it's so quiet. It is so silent, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but to be physically split from your partner, I mean, to really find that, you know, I mean, that some couples are, you know, lucky enough, relatively speaking, to be able to go into exile and live, you know, live in another country. You know, the partner's either the non-citizen partner's original country, if, you know, if the non-citizen partner is from a country that offers, there are 19 countries that offer some kind of immigration benefit to same-sex couples.
Mm-hmm.
So if the, you know, if one partner is from one of those countries, or if they're eligible to move to one of those countries. So for example, Canada, you know, even if neither of you is Canadian, you may be able to qualify for Canadian residency, and then you can, you know, if one of you can qualify for Canadian residency, then Canada, of course, has equal rights for same-sex couples, and so you could bring, you know, then you could bring your partner with you. We have many, many, many couples who have gone into exile because they had no way to stay together in the United States.
Yeah.
But then there are more couples for whom that's not an option. Either they're, you know, neither one of them is, you know, the non-citizen partner is not from a country that recognizes same-sex couples, and, you know, and perhaps that, you know, if they're not able to qualify, you know, to qualify for Canadian immigration, you have to have a, you know, you have to have graduated from high school, you have to have a, you know, educational qualifications, work qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if neither person in the partnership can qualify, then they may have nowhere that they can live together.
Exactly. And then, yeah, it's just totally unfair. I mean, we have to go through all this when, if it is a straight couple, that would be pretty much a done deal really quick.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Right.
And what is the most important thing that you want all of us, just like a normal person listening to this show, or gay or not, I have both gay listeners, non-gay listeners, I do have transgender listeners as well. Anything that is the most important thing that you want all of us to know about this organization?
I think that the most important thing to know about the organization is that we're pretty small,
mm-hmm.
and yet we are accommodating inquiries from 8,000 people are visiting our website every month. We did more than 1,100 individual intakes last year by phone or by email or in person.
Mm-hmm.
People who either had questions about the immigration law or potential asylum cases coming to talk to our legal staff to find out whether or not they could apply for asylum or what else their options were.
Mm-hmm.
And
they could do that by phone or by email?
Right. The best thing to do is go to the website and take mm-hmm. a look at the information on the website. So, for example, there are frequently asked questions on issues. You know, some of the most common questions that were asked relating to binational couples. So, for example, mm-hmm. can I get married in Massachusetts and sponsor my partner for a green card? The answer is no, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, as you know, but that's for
start
that's
with
one
the
of the
website.
Most common questions. So
we'll
that's
start with the
website
and
take a look. And then if the website doesn't answer your questions, on the website or our email and phone number,
okay.
and get in touch if the website doesn't answer your questions.
That is very good. And let's see. Also, there are also issues for not just binational couples. There's also issues for people who are HIV positive. There might be some issue, or they're concerned about there might be issues that would be involving their immigration status, and also transgender issue. Do you have any example of what kind of transgender issue?
Sure. And I want to be really brief because I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Sure.
But, very briefly, there were issues for transgender couples, a couple in which one person was transgender and they were legally married. An issue arose and now appears to have been resolved, we're hoping.
Mm-hmm.
But for a long time, couples who had a valid marriage, a quote-unquote straight marriage,
mm-hmm.
In the state or country in which they were married, after one person had transitioned to a different gender, and
mm-hmm.
they now sort of appeared as a straight couple, those couples for a long time were able to receive immigration benefits,
mm-hmm.
Obviously sort of on the argument that the state that married them recognized them as married,
mm-hmm.
And so there was no reason that they shouldn't be seen as married by the Immigration Service. Recently, about two years ago, suddenly those cases started getting held up.
Mm-hmm.
We were seeing that they were not going through. And then there was a memo from the Department of Homeland Security that basically said, the memo did not make a whole lot of sense, but if you read it carefully, it basically seemed to imply that a couple in which one person was transgender would not be able to get married to basically anybody for immigration purposes. Because, reading the logic of the memo, it seems there's just an overwhelming fear that one way or the other you've got a same-sex marriage on your hands,
mm-hmm.
and that's not something that the Immigration Service wanted to acknowledge. So there was a lot of pushing. Immigration Equality, a group in California called the Transgender Law Center, and a couple of other people got together and really sort of pushed for clarification of the policy, and then ultimately helped some people appeal their cases. And we did get two positive decisions in the course of about 6 months from the Board of Immigration Appeals, saying no, this is really if these people are married, then if the state said that they're a straight couple and they're married, that's got to be good enough.
Okay.
So that issue we hope has been resolved. But there are always concerns for transgender people, not the least of which is obviously being treated with respect by at every stage of the process, whether they're an asylum seeker, whether they are, we recently represented someone who was a green card holder who was going for her naturalization interview, and had been treated very rudely in the initial interview and contacted us for help.
You can read that too. I think I read that on the website as well. There's a PDF document there. And quickly, we don't leave anybody out, HIV issues. What if they know that they are HIV positive and they're in the middle of the process of getting started to apply for their green card or any sort of immigration document?
And again, the news is not good. For people who are, there are two different layers of discrimination against people living with HIV or AIDS. One of them is at the tourist level. So entering the United States, if you are HIV positive, is very, very difficult. There's a travel ban that tries to bar people from the country,
mm-hmm.
if they're HIV positive. There is a waiver, but it's quite difficult to get. There's currently there's a blanket waiver in place for the gay games, although we have some concerns about how it's going to be applied and what exactly would go in your file,
mm-hmm.
in your computer file if you entered using the gay games waiver. So that's something else that you can find on our website, some more information about that.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are here and who are seeking green cards, either they're in the United States trying to get a green card, or they're out of the United States trying to get a green card. There is an HIV ban that operates, and you have to do a full medical exam in order to get a green card.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes into play in the process of finishing the application. there's a waiver available, but you must have to, in order to qualify for the waiver, you have to have a U.S. citizen or green card holder, parent, child, or spouse. And again, of course, a same-sex spouse doesn't qualify. So once you have that qualifying relative, you still need to meet some other criteria, including being able to show that you have health insurance. Mm-hmm. But you can't even begin the process of seeking the waiver if you don't have a qualifying parent, child, or spouse who is a citizen or a green card holder themselves.
Yeah, I remember doing the whole health examination piece, and I remember there's a part two, the HIV test, and at that time, I wasn't sure. It's like, is this just something that you just have to do, or will you actually, if you find out that you're HIV positive, does that mean that you are then not qualify?
If you were, I mean, we definitely recommend that people know their HIV status before they begin the green card application mm-hmm. process, because if in the process of applying, if you know in your medical you were to find out that you were HIV positive, then the government has that information, and that could initiate deportation proceedings against you just on that basis alone.
Wow.
So if you're not sure, if you're in the process of applying for a green card and trying to adjust your status, let's say you're on an H-1B or you're on a student visa, or you know there's you know a green card, you know may be available for you, or you're able to apply, you should make sure to know your HIV status before you do so. And I mean, we know people who've withdrawn their green card applications when they found out that they were positive, because they wanted to try to stay in the country some other way without having to go through that medical.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for all this information.
It's my pleasure.
There's a whole lot more of information on the website, immigrationequality.org. And thank you, Rachel. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. And we'll do out the podcasters out here. We'll do our very best to get the words out there and send people to your website for information.
Terrific.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and be in touch.
I will. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Great. Take care, John. Bye.
Bye-bye.